Okay, good morning everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashon class learning. It's almost Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph is tomorrow Yom Shlishi, which means that the first day of Adar Aleph is coming up on Yom Revi'i. So it's an Ibur Shana. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us an extra opportunity, an extra month to maximize the time. And as we move into the season of Geula, Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zochot to see the Geula in our generation and in our time. It should be again Chodesh of Besoros Tovos and Yeshuos and Shalom for all of Klal Yisrael. Let's begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Ribbono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Al Rachum V'Nechanun Shetezekeni Hayom U'Bechol Yom U'Lishmor Pi U'Lishonim Milashon Hara V'Chilus Be'ezarim L'Daber Tefillah Al Ish Yachid V'Kol Shekein Al Klal Yisrael Chelek mehem, the Kodesh Kain Misraim al Midos of Shal Kodesh Barhu. Ezarm le Dabra divre Sheker, Hanufa, Mechlokas, Kas, Gaiva, Onas, Tvarim, Habanas, Panam, Litsonus, the Chodibur Osser, the Zakain Shal Dabra Kim Dabra Hatsarich, Inyane, Gufi, Vinafshi, Yukoma, Saivadibur, the Shem Shamayim, Amen, Vamain. So we are learning the Zechanishmasim and Lilinishmasim, Tvi Gershon, Alabasham, Ben Yoel Vachana, as well as Zev Wolf Ben Yeshai Lavasham, may both Neshamas have Elios in the Schos of the Torah and Divrehis Orus, an important learning that we will share this morning. Also, with your permission, as a schos for continued refuah for Baruch Avigail, Bas Rachel Gita, Besoch Shar Cholei Yisrael. So we are continuing in the Gemara, where Maseches Bava Metzia. Okay. We are still learning the topic of Ona'as Dvarim, which is verbal oppression. I just want to share with you two Rashis from this past week's Parsha, Mishpatim, very, very complicated Parsha. Very complicated Parsha. Like my son said to me, you don't learn Gemara, so it's very, very complicated. So we shall have the Siyata Deshmai to understand what we need to understand. But the Pasuk tells us, here's my sticky. The Pasuk tells us two very interesting and important ideas related very much to our learning. One is exactly related to Ona'as Dvarim. So the Pasuk Mamish tells us, I'm going out of order, okay? Perak Chaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph tells us, in Sefer Shemos, of course, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. What does that mean? You shall not bear, it's translated by art school, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. You shall not bear a meritless report. You should not carry a report that has no merit. And Rashi says, you should understand the like Targum Unklus, Lo Tikabel Shima Dishakar. You should not accept a false report. Rashi says, Beferish, this is an Azhara, the Makabel Lashon Hara. So not only is there a warning not to speak Lashon Hara, here you have a de'oraisa not to be mekabel the Lashon Hara. Lo tisa shei mashav, do not bear or do not carry a false report. And Rashi says it's an azhara le mekabel Lashon Hara. It's a warning not to be mekabel the Lashon Hara. And that's one thing I wanted to share with you. That's Perichov Gimel Pasuk Aleph in Parshas Mishpatim. And also we have the Feirush, the prohibition of Ona'as Dvarim. Earlier in the parsha, I said I was going out of order. Parachov Beis Pasukhov. So the Pasuk says, Vigir lo sona velosa chatzenu, a convert you shall not abuse or you shall not oppress. Kigirim hayisim be'eretz Mitzrayim, you were strangers in a strange land. How would you come to oppress a convert? And then the next Pasuk, and by the way, continue this theme of not oppressing the downtrodden, continues the Pasuk, Parachov Beis Pasukhov Aleph, call Almana viyasum lo sa'anun, any Almana viyasum, a widow and an orphan, you shall also not persecute. And Rashi says, what does it mean you shall not abuse a stranger? Ger lo sona. Rashi says, befeish ona'as dvarim. We're talking about verbal harassment. Lo techatzenu is gzeilas mamon. So you should not verbally oppress and you should also not steal their money. And Rashi says, ko amana viyasum lo sa'anun. You should not cause inui, oppression, abuse to any widow or orphan. But Rashi says, hu hadin nechol adam. This applies to every person. It's not like if you see somebody married or someone baruch shum who has both parents, it means, oh, well, the Torah only said I can't abuse and oppress a convert, a widow, or an orphan, so that person I can abuse and oppress. No, says Rashi, hu hadin l'chol adam. This is the halacha for every person. Ela shadiber kasu behova. The Torah speaks about what is prevalent. L'fi shehim teshu sheikoch v'davar mitzrei lanosan. Because weaker people are commonly more rachman al-san prayed as victims of abuse. So the Pasuk is telling you, because these people may be more weak, they don't have any family, they don't have anyone to stand up for them, so it might be easier to oppress and abuse them. So the Torah says beferish about these people, you can't have onas dvarim, kind of verbal oppression, kind of abuse, but really it is the halacha for every person. So these were two instances in Parshas Mishpatim where we see a lot of relevance to our class. So we have just learned that you're not allowed to be makabel the lashon hara. You know, you have to say, I'm not makabel. That's better not to hear it at all, because once it gets into your head, the problem is that once it's in your head, it still remains there. But you can't be makabel the lashon hara. And also we have the prohibition of onas dvarim, which is the topic we are spending extensive time on based on the Chafetz Chaim Sefer, where he goes into depth into onas dvarim. Both of these are forbidden. So this is so funny. This is where we're up to, okay? We're in the Gemara. I know I've been screen sharing, but I'm not going to screen share now, and you'll see why, okay? We're in the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. By the way, Bava Metzia is very important for the understanding of Parshas Mishpatim. I told my son, I said, most of the Rashi's I do not understand. He said, that's because you don't learn the Gemara. You really, it's even for, he was saying, it's really complex. But we are talking about Onas Dvarim in the Gemara, which is, you see, are clearly related to a number of topics in Parshas Mishpatim. So where are we, Mamash, where are we up to in the Gemara? I keep a sticky, okay? So, and I always date it, so I tell myself where to start when they come to the next class. So this is Mamash where we are. Maseches Bava Metzia, okay? We're on Nun Tas Aleph, 59a. Amar Rav. Rav says, La'ola mihe adam zahir ba'onas ishto. Now we're talking about a specific kind of ona. A person always has to be very careful when it comes to verbal oppression of his wife. Ba'onas ishto, ba'onas dvarim, of his wife. And Rashi says, ba'onas dvarim litzara. What is onas ishto? Onas dvarim. Verbal oppression, letza'ara, to cause her tsar, to cause her pain. That's Rashi and the Gemara. Why does a person have to be more careful when it comes to onas dvarim with his wife and not saying words that will cause her tsar? Shemitoch shedim asa mitsuya. Her tears are easily found. Onasa krova, the punishment for wronging her is nearby. So it is not long in coming. So when someone chas v'sham hurt someone through verbal oppression, who is more easily prone to being hurt. And in this case, the Gemara says it's referring to a husband causing pain to his wife through verbal oppression. The punishment for wronging her is nearby. Onasa'a krova, the punishment to you for wronging her is nearby. And Rashi says, lavo por anus, that the por anus, the travail, the affliction will come, onasa mimeher lavo. The por anus that comes through the verbal oppression is very quick to come. So this is extremely interesting. So in the 2 weeks since we asked, that's mamash where we're up to. That's where my sticky is, on the Gemara, okay? I've started to read this book. I highly recommend it. It's not on my website yet as recommended reading. I actually just put a new book on recommended reading on last night. It's not on my website because I didn't finish it, but I need to talk. Okay, I'm reading this book. I highly recommend it. It's Feldheim. It's called 10 Really Dumb Mistakes That Very Smart Couples Make. I highly recommend it. It has a skamas from, okay, forget me, Chalaretz. It has a skamas from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, Rav Brudni Shlita, and others. Okay, so Gedolei Hador, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, is giving his haskama to this. So not, forget me, Chalaretz, if you don't want to take my word for it. Okay, Rav Yichiel Yitzchak Per from Yeshiva for Rockway, Rav Elia Brudni, Rosh Hashiva Mir Brooklyn, Rav Menachem Davidovitz, Talmudic Institute of Upstate New York, Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita, plus many Haskamos from others. And I think it's Rabbi Lef who says, it's someone who says, I recommend this book to all couples, whether they've been married for 5 minutes or 50 years. I figure it's great. I highly recommend it. Big endorsement. It's by Feldheim. I bought it in the Judaica store. 10 Really Dumb Mistakes That Very Smart Couples Make. Smart Couples Make, a Torah-based guide to successful marriage. Rabbi Ben Sion Shafir, Shafier. Anyway, why am I bringing it up to you now? Because, so we were away last week for a few days, and I took a few books with me for reading material. This was one of them. And what do I come across? And I know what we're learning in Bava Metzia. I know where we're up to, even though I didn't take the Gemara with me. That was my husband's part. I didn't take the Gemara with me, but I know what we're up to in this shir. And what do I read on page 191? Because he quotes from different Torah sources. Talmud Bavli Maseches Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph. Amar Rav. I'm not quoting from my Gemara. I'm quoting from page 191 in this book. Amar Rav, la'ola mihe adam zahir, but onas ishto. A person should always be careful when it comes to the ona of his wife. We saw the Gemara, we saw Rashi. Shemitoch shadim asa mitzuya, onasa krova. Her tears are more readily found, and therefore her oppression is more readily found. And like we saw by Rashi, lavo per anos onasa memeher lavo. If you afflict her and you bring per anos, so the you cause her that ona, that verbal oppression, so the retribution will come quickly. So I'm going to now quote from this book / Sefer, 10 really dumb mistakes that very smart couples make, a Torah-based guide to successful marriage. There was one who said, I told you, whether you're married for 5 minutes or 50 years, one of the Rabbi Yechiel Sparrow gives a haskama, Rabbi Menachem Niso, Rabbi Chanoch Taller. So you don't have to take my word for it. There are much, much greater people than me who are recommending this book. I can't find where that one quote was. Okay, let's go. So I'm going to quote from this book. Had I even come to this book, if anyone like me reads Mishpacha magazine, so over a series of 10 weeks, he had a column in Mishpacha magazine. Did anyone else see it? From the people whose screens are open, did anyone else see it in Mishpacha magazine over a series of 10 weeks? No. It was really good, and then they stopped the column. So then, and the book has been advertised, so I went to buy the book. Okay, so I'm learning through this Sefer, Sasha book. So he quotes this piece of the Gemara that we are talking about, and so you see that there is verbal oppression. We're not only talking about your neighbor and the guy sitting next to you in shul, and the lady you saw in the supermarket, or the person who, you know, cut you off. We're not only talking about outside the home, and it comes to onas dvarim. We have to be very careful. Sometimes we have to be more careful, because sometimes we treat the people in the house more casually and with greater disdain, Rachman Hatzan. You know the expression in English, familiarity breeds contempt, okay? So sometimes we're not careful enough when it comes to ona with the people in our home. We think only it applies to the people outside of our home. The Gemara says, beferish, that's not true. When it comes to ona's dvarim, the Gemara says, who do you have to be the most careful about? Your wife. So that clearly shows you that the way we talk to the people in the house has to be as careful, if not more on guard, than the way we speak to people outside of the home and in the street. So Rabbi Ben Zion Shafir writes as follows. Chazal say Metzachas Bava Metzia 59a, which is where we are, a man must be extremely careful with what he says to his wife. So we're talking about the words. Why? Because, like the Gemara says, her tears are more readily found. Shadim Asa Metzuya. Her tears are found. Chazal are telling us a man has to be very careful. Not because she's a crybaby, I'm quoting, but because his wife is more sensitive and will be pained more easily. And therefore she will feel pain to a greater extent. Therefore, the husband must be guarded with what he says. Again, remember, this isn't good advice from this book, okay? He's just expanding upon what the Gemara teaches us. Because while the words he says might not bother a friend, they will hurt his wife. That's what Chazal say. So we get the Torah, Parashas Mishpatim. We know that the Torah Shebichtav, Perach of Dalet, resumes the narrative at Sinai. We know that we get the Torah Shebichtav from Har Sinai, and we also got the Torah Shebichtav from Har Sinai. It's not things, Chas V'Sham, that, you know, that some people came along and made up. We're talking about Torah Messina here. So Chazal tells us you have to be very careful with what you say, because why the words a man says to his friend might slip casually off the friend. The friend doesn't care. They will hurt his wife. This is a mistake that young husbands often make. They think that women cry over every little thing. If she would just be a little more sensible, he believes, she would realize it's not such a big deal. But she's not crying because it's a big deal. She's crying because Chazal say she cries easily. That means she's crying because your words hurt her. She feels the pain of that ona'a more than you do. Things that hurt you only a little. Chazal say the wife doesn't have to be careful with the words, even though he clarifies at the end of his topics. Obviously, it goes vice versa. Nobody leave here and say that the wife could go verbally abuse the husband. Chalil v'chas. Okay, that's not what we mean. And there are exceptions to this rule. And there are times that it is the wife who, God forbid, verbally abuses the husband. But last time we spoke about the halachas of lashon hara in regard to physical and sexual violation and abuse. And this time you see that words are as damaging. The pasuk says in Mishlei 18:21, "Mavis v'chayim b'yad halashon v'avel yochal pirya." Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. And we're not only talking about physical, but also spiritual. She's crying because it hurts her. The woman feels the pain more intensely than he does. Things that will hurt him only a little. I'm on page 191. If you have this book and you want to know where I'm quoting from, where he expands upon this gemara, hurt her a lot. When you're in a lot of pain, he writes, Rabbi Shafi writes, you cry. She is in a lot of pain from words that to you seem very trivial, which also reminds us of the power of words, and they're perceived differently by different people. You know, it was so interesting. My husband, the Rav, called my husband yesterday afternoon, and he said, could you come 10 minutes in advance of Mincha? So my husband said, okay, what did he need? He said, we need a Beis Din for Ataras Nedarim. I found this so fascinating. My husband came home because it shows you the power of words. It's not something you know, usually think of Kol Nidrei by Yom Kippur night. Someone in the shul, apparently, he didn't tell me who it was. I don't know. I don't want to know. Someone in the shul took a vow upon herself to not do certain things. And she realized that she needed to be Matir Neder. Now, all she did was words. She just said words. I'm not going to eat X, Y, and Z. Words. The power of words changes a reality. And she needed to be Matir Neder. My husband said the Rav asked her a series of questions. And then he said to the other two men, just follow my lead. And they said, Mutar Lach, Mutar Lach, Mutar Lach. And then her vow was annulled. So you see, the words Mamish create a whole reality. So when the Gemara says that her tears are easily found, that, oh, na'ah, you create a new reality for that person. Oh, it's just words. So you know the expression in English, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not the viewpoint of the Torah. We saw two places in Mishpatim, and it's not the viewpoint of Chazal. There are countless studies, going back to Rabbi Shafir, there are countless studies which confirm that the area of the brain that handles stress is more sensitive in women. Clinically, the number of women suffering from anxiety and depression is double the number of men. At a funeral, women tend to cry more than men. The reason for all of these is because women are more sensitive than men. And women, like the Gemara says, feel pain to a greater degree. Onasa krova, her pain, dimasa matsui, it's there, it's found. Women feel pain as well as joy, happiness, and all other feelings to a greater degree than men do. They feel the full emotional spectrum more acutely, which also explains why sometimes you have two men and, you know, they could just joke around and one won't take insults. And then if someone, a woman, says such a thing to another woman, she's never going to talk to her again. He used to be my best friend. And how could you have said such a thing to me? So it's not a made-up idea. And this isn't, you know, racist against any one of the genders. It's how Hashem programmed us. And that's what the Gemara says. Of course, Rabbi Shafir clarifies, rules about gender apply to most men and most women, but not all always. We understand that. It could be that the husband may be more sensitive than the wife. So any wife listening to this, and you know, you want to run and tell your husband what the Gemara says and what Rabbi Shafir says and what studies have said and the power of words and Matir Neder. No, so don't go around, because as a general rule, women are far more sensitive than men. But it could be that a husband is more sensitive than his wife, you know, if she has a tougher personality. So there is a Yotzei Min HaKlal, and therefore she has to be careful as well. But Chazal's status is a general principle. When it comes to Onas Devarim, husbands have to accept their wives really feel these feelings, and any attempt to dismiss them damages the relationship. So if you want to invalidate the feelings, you know, don't be such a baby. It's not such a big deal. You're not making it worse. That's added onas dvarim, because now you're telling her how to feel. Now you're saying you shouldn't feel that way, because I'll tell you that it's emes min hashamayim that she feels a certain way. So the words that you say is a joke to your friend, but she just shrugs off to your wife, cause extreme pain. Expressions like, come on, you're exaggerating, are unfair and definitely are not helpful, because she is not exaggerating. Her reality is different than your reality. That's what Chazal are trying to tell us in their wisdom. She is feeling bad. Telling her she does not feel bad invalidates her pain and then sets off a chain reaction of even stronger feelings. And I love this. Remember, I was in Florida, okay? And I did not have the Gemara with me. I happen to know where we're up to because we're going through the Chafetz Chaim in the actual Sefer. I think it's Perek Yud or Perek Yud Aleph, where he was talking about Onas Dvarim. So therefore, we went to the Gemara to look at the source inside. Yeah, Perek. Not Yud or Yud, Perek Yud Dalet. Okay? Onas Dvarim. That's the whole topic. So guess who Rabbi Shafir quotes next? Guess. The Chafetz Chaim. Okay, you can't make this stuff up. Page 192. The Chafetz Chaim, we Ba'al Shmir Salashon. Remember, we say in the Tefillah Al Dibur, I reiterate this to you all the time. I hope one thing this class has helped us all understand is that we used to, used to have a very narrow view of what Lashon Hara was. When it comes to the parameters of Shmiras HaLashon, we're not only talking about Lashon Hara. There are many forms of permitted and forbidden speech. Okay? If you pay attention to the Tefillah al-Dibur that we say, Ve'ezahar mi'ledaber divrei sheker, chanufa mechulkas kas gaiva o naas devarim. It is one of the very real categories of forbidden speech. And if you're so careful to speak to the Rav nicely and your child's teacher nicely and the school principal nicely and the cashier nicely, then we certainly have to be careful to speak to the people in our homes the same way. Now, Rabbi Shofir quotes the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim offers a parable related to this. Two men are standing outside a bar. A drunkard comes out of the bar, falls to the ground, and rolls in the dirt. One man says to the other, remember there's two people standing outside, there's Chafetz Chaim's mashal, look at that, if I got drunk, I would never act that way. Fool, the friend replies, if you were drunk, you would be drunk. The reason you're saying that now is because you're not drunk. What is this mashal and nimshal? The Chafetz Chaim says something similar about our attitude towards wealthy people. Many people look at wealthy people and we say, if I had a lot of money, I wouldn't be like him. I wouldn't spend like that. Quote, I wouldn't put my name on the buildings over town. I would be very humble. Anivas. The Chafetz Chaim explains that great wealth affects a person. It gives him an inflated sense of importance, a belief that he's worthy of honor. If you aren't wealthy, it's very easy to say, if I were rich, I wouldn't be that way. It's very easy to say, if I were drunk, I wouldn't act that way. It's very easy to say, if I were a woman, I wouldn't be so sensitive. But you're not so wealthy, so you don't know how you would act. And you're not drunk, so you don't know how you would act. And you're not a woman, if you're a man, so you don't know how you would act. But if you were rich, you would feel very differently than you do now. You don't know how you would act if you feel that way. So it's a sober man saying how he would act if he were drunk. It's a poor man saying how he would act if he was rich. It's a person who's not so sensitive to Nasrim saying how he would act if he were more sensitive. I have to get a say from Rabbi Dr. Twersky, which is another book that I took to Florida with me, because I want to quote from there, but I left it on the shelf. 1 second. Obviously, it relates to our topic. Okay. Nice thing about going away is I had a lot more time to read than I usually have. So, okay. This is a story from the Rapshitzer Rebbe. My man, my husband is seventh generation Ben Acher Ben from the Rapshitzer Rebbe. Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes that he was an ancestor of his. So somewhere down, way back, I told Mesmer we were related to Rabbi Dr. Twersky somehow. Okay, father used to love to tell the story. Okay, I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Twersky. The book is called Generation to Generation. Father used to love to tell the story of the tzaddik of Rapshitz, Rav Naftali Mi Rapshitz, and his Rebbetzin. It seems that the Rebbetzin was a very frugal woman. So this is a story of Shalom Bais and how not to do onas dvarim of your spouse. She kept everything in the house under lock and key. All the cupboards were tightly secured, lest anyone help themselves to her provisions. The Rebbetzin was a devout and pious woman. She prayed regularly. And when she was involved in prayer, she meditated so profoundly. She was in a trance-like state. Even an earthquake could not have distracted her. When she prepared the kugel for Shabbos, she was most austere, she limited. She was with the ingredients. She wasn't generous with the ingredients. And she added just the bare minimum of schmaltz. Her husband, the tzaddik, Rav Naftali Mi Rapshitz, my son, when he went on his Poland trip, actually went to the Rav Naftali Mi Rapshitz caver. I think my son is eighth generation Ben Acher Ben. He got to stand by the caver and daven there. Her husband, the tzaddik, Rav Naftali Mi Rapshitz, would wait until she began to pray. Knowing while she was in deep meditation and prayer, she was oblivious to everything, he would remove the cupboard keys from her apron pocket. He would gain access to the schmaltz. He would add a generous amount to the kugel and then return the keys to the place. The Rebbetzin, so devout was she in her prayer, remained thoroughly unaware of this. On Shabbos, when the kugel was served, it was dripping with abundant schmaltz. The Rebbetzin would say to her husband, see, you always criticize me for being too cheap in my cooking. Just look at that kugel. It's overflowing with schmaltz. Rabbi Naftali Mi Rapshitz would nod and smile. And he would say, yes, my dear wife, this is indeed a reward. It is a blessing from heaven. God has rewarded us with a bountiful kugel. It comes to us by virtue of your sincere prayers and my good deeds. It comes from your prayers and my good deeds. So there's a time and a place and a way to say everything. And the Gemara is telling us that a woman is more easily pained, and therefore you have to be more careful with onas dvarim. Going back to Rabbi Shafir, this seems to be why the Rambam says, earlier he quotes the Rambam, a husband must treat his wife with more respect than he does to himself, because she is more sensitive. She feels things more acutely. Pain hurts her more. You can't say, if I was a woman, I wouldn't be so sensitive. You're not a woman, so you don't understand. Chazal, I'll tell you, there's a rule. She doesn't need the respect the same way he does, but her feelings are very delicate. She feels things more intensely than he does, and that's why he must be more careful with her honor than his own, which helps us understand the pasuk in Mishpatim that I quoted before, the ger lo sone velo sechatzenu, because a ger, you could understand, we might understand, I don't know if we could understand, but we would imagine someone who might be more sensitive, who is cut off ties from family, who doesn't have the security of, you know, yichus or community or knowing the halachos the way that we know the halachos or trying to know the halachos, doesn't have the familiarity with davening, with tefillah the way that we might. So that is someone who will be more sensitive. And therefore, when it comes to this person, ger lo sona onas dvarim, mamish befevish, you cannot verbally oppress this person. And then Rashi quotes Old French. Often Rashi will quote Old French. And he says that in Old French, it's contraire, contraire. And the footnote says that means to vex or to harass. It should not be confused with the French adjective contrary, okay? So you're not allowed to. And furthermore, when it comes to the Amana and Yasum, also lo sa'anun, we could understand why as well, because in those situations, you're talking about a person whose feelings are very delicate, Rahmana Tzlando Oleinu, and therefore they are more prone to damage through words. Says Rabbi Shafir, this principle, I just want to see something, carries a powerful message. He quotes from Sefer Bereishis. The pasuk tells in Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Lech Lecha about Shalom Bayis between Avram and Sarai at that point. They're journeying through the land. And the pasuk says, Vayateik misham hahara mikedem lebeis el. He moved onto the hill country east of Beis El. Vayed ahalo, he pitched his tent, Beis El miyam, va'ay mikedem, Beis El in the west, the eye in the east. He built there a mizbech to Hashem, and he called on the name of Hashem. But if you would look at the Chumash, it's Perikid Beis Pasuk Ches of Bereishis Lechacha. It says, Vayed ahalo, he pitched his tent. But the actual letter is read as Ohala. It doesn't. It's not Aleph Hey Lamed Vav Ohalo. It's pronounced Ohalo, but it's written Aleph Hey Lamed Hey, which reads Ohala. He pitched her tent. Rashi says Ohala Ksiv. It is written as her tent. Why? But Chila Nata as Ohal Ishto. First he pitched his wife's tent. Va'achar kach et shalo. And only after he pitched his tent, Rashi is quoting from Medrash Bereishis Rabba. So Rabbi Shafir comments: Parshas Lech Lecha opens with Hashem telling Avraham Avinu to leave his land, leave his birthplace, his father's house, and journey to Canaan. Many events happened along the way. The Torah tells us only the details that are relevant for generations. A lot happened, right? What happened before Avram was 75 years old? I don't know. What happened on the journey to Canaan? A lot must have happened on the journey to Canaan. The Torah only tells Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros Nichtava. That means there is a lesson. We are told at one stop that Avram pitched his tent, Ahalo, but it's written now with a final Vav, which would mean his tent, but rather it's written with a Hey. The Torah uses the feminine suffix, so it actually reads, he pitched her tent, Aleph Hey Lamed Hey. Rashi teaches us, quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabba, that Avram set up his wife's tent, and only after that he set up his own. The Sifsei Chachamim comments, I'm quoting Rabbi Shafir, a man is obligated to honor his wife more than himself. By putting up his wife's tent before his own, he was showing her honor. That's what the Sifsei Chachamim says. And again, remember, such a small act. Think of how much the Torah leaves out about the life of Avram Avinu. Think how much you don't know. Like, do you really care that he pitched his tent and Beis El was on the west and the Ai was on the east and he was in the middle of Beis El and Ai? Do you really need to know that? Is that relevant? Yeah, because what's the lesson? He was taking care of being sensitive to his wife. We're talking about Avram Avinu, you know, converted the masses, recognized God, started the Ummah Yisraelis, brought monotheism to a world of paganism. Why, says Rabbi Shafir, do we need to be told this small, inconsequential detail? Because it's not small and it's not inconsequential. The Torah is teaching us a foundational concept. Quote, Shalom Bayis is made up of many small acts. I'm going to say it again. Shalom Bayis is made up of many small acts. And remember, this is all under his subheading of Odas Tvarim. So I'm going to say that Shalom Bayis is made up of many small acts and many small or not so small words. And these small acts and words may seem trivial. They may seem like simple things that don't matter. Yet they each do. Because they create, all those small acts create an undercurrent of respect that tells a woman her husband holds her in high regard. That is what the Torah is teaching us about Avram and Sarah. It's true, they had the most perfect marriage ever known to mankind. That's what he writes. But it wasn't by chance. Their relationship was carefully nurtured and developed. A big part of a successful marriage is in the myriad small details, which is being respectful in the daily mundane activities, showing deference and regard, setting up your wife's tent first, and being careful with Onas Dvarim. One more section from this, one more concluding thought from this section of Rabbi Shafir in regard to the Onas Dvarim. Unfortunately, the world has lost much sense of propriety. Basic expressions of decency and manners have been abandoned. And unfortunately, it's true sometimes in our homes as well. The world has become coarse, vulgar, and unrefined in how we speak. We are coarse, vulgar, and unrefined. I don't necessarily mean the people on the Zoom share, but the world in general is vulgar, coarse, and unrefined. And humanity pays a heavy price for it. But this is not the Torah way. And it does not belong in a Jewish home. I'm quoting, I'm on page 195. When I was growing up, the concept of ladies first was a given. My mother drilled into us, you acted differently towards a woman. And we're not talking about male chauvinism, and I'm not talking about championing women's causes. I'm talking about Mamash Torah. There's a way that a woman feels, and she feels differently. And the words that are coarse, vulgar, and unrefined are going to hurt her more. Her tears are easily found. And yes, there are exceptions to the rule. But in general, this is how Hashem made us. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch writes. Why did I do that? Because I just remembered it now when I was preparing Shir. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch writes. I'm going to go get Rav Hirsch. 1 second. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Obviously, I didn't think about it. I was preparing her. The Chumash would have been next to me. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch writes, and this is so beautiful and will help us understand a little bit why women are more sensitive and why the Gemara has to tell you, La'ola mihe Adam Zahir ba'onas ishto, shemitoch shedim asa mitsuya onasa krova. Why do you have to be more careful when it comes to verbal oppression of a woman? Her tears are easily found and it is easier to cause her pain and therefore the punishment is quicker. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch says, the joys of teaching at home when you remember a source and you don't have it right in front of you, could go get it. So Rav Hirsch explains, why is there such a fundamental difference in the way a woman feels and behaves and the way a man feels? You have to go back to Bereishis. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin tells us about the creation of man. It's a pasuk that relates totally to the Shir because it's what's Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. You should all know it off by heart by now. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofer min ha'adama. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Vayi adam le'nefesh chayim. What's the famous Targum Onkelos? Vahavas ba'adam le'ruach memalala. At the moment of man's inception, man became a speaking spirit. Big pasuk for Shmir Salashan. What defines us and distinguishes us from animals? V'havas badam l'ruach memalala, says Unkos. At the moment of man's creation, man became a speaking spirit. But for purposes of Rav Hirsch, what was man created from? What was Baruch Hashem? My husband just landed at Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem. What was man created from? Hodul Hashem. What was man created from? Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama. What was man created from? Dirt. What was woman created from? A person. Even Hashem Elokim Esat Sela. Hashem Elokim built the side bone, or whatever you want to translate it as. Asher Lakach Min HaAdam. Ah, she was taken from a person and created from a person. A living, breathing, feeling human being. Man was created from dirt. I don't mean that bad. I'm sorry. I'm being serious. Okay. I didn't mean it to sound bad. Literally, he was created from the dirt. She's created from a person of human flesh and blood. Let's hear what Rav Hirsch has to say. Vayivain, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, commentary to Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pesach Chaf Beis. Vayivain. Elsewhere as well, Bana, Beis Nun Hei, occurs in the sense of forming. Right? God built her, he formed her, he fashioned her. Thus, unlike the case of man, in the case of woman, the material for her body was not taken from earth. Man was made from a lifeless, feelingless, emotionless, inanimate object of afar. That's what the pasuk says. In the case of woman, unlike in the case of man, the material for her body was not taken from the earth. God took one side of man and formed it into woman. Man, as it were, was divided into two, and one part of man was formed into a woman. The Torah does not say Vayivra, Hashem created. It does not say Vayitzer, Hashem fashioned. It does not say Vayaas, Hashem made. Vayivain. God built one side of man and arranged it into woman. What was previously only one creature was now two. Scripture thus attests to the complete equality of woman. So no one should leave this class and say, like, this is, you know, anti-feminist, anti-woman, pro-man. No, it's fact. It's Torah. It's how Hashem made us. We're just different. It goes all the way back to creation. Listen to this paragraph from Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. Our sages ascribe all the special qualities of woman, her voice, character, temperament, her earlier spiritual and intellectual maturity, to the way in which she was formed. She was formed from the already feeling, sensitive, living body of man, as opposed to man, whose body was taken from earth. I'm going to repeat that again. Our sages ascribe all the special qualities of woman, her voice, her character, her temperament, as well as her earlier spiritual and intellectual maturity. Rav Hirsch says, she has an earlier spiritual maturity and an earlier intellectual maturity, and it's so true. My mother used to say, give a 12-year-old boy a baby and give a 12-year-old girl a baby. Never mind my 6-year-old niece, how she carries a doll on her hip, and look how boy. Why is it a maternal instinct? Because it's all based on how she was formed. She was formed from an already feeling, sensitive, living body of man, as opposed to man, meaning the male, Adam, who is taken from the earth. So going all the way back to creation and inception, the woman has a much greater sensitivity. Why? Because she was created from something that was living, breathing, feeling, whereas he was created thus from the earth, which helps us understand why it's the woman's role to bear the child. We're just very used to it, but it could have been, like back by my celebration, Hashem could have made the man with the rechem. He could have. We wouldn't have thought it was weird. I know it sounds bizarre now that I say it to you, but it would not have been weird if that's how Hashem made it. That's just what it would be, how Hashem would have made it. Seahorses, the males carry all those babies and then they spit them out when they're ready to, you know, birth. It wouldn't have been weird. But the fact that man was created thus from the earth and woman was created from another living, feeling human being helps us understand why it is she who nurtures and further creates the child, because the child is created flesh from flesh. Woman creates another being, but also it helps us understand why she is more sensitive to Ona Asdvarim than a man who is not so sensitive. He thinks it's not a big deal and invalidates her feelings, and she can't stop crying. And he thinks, what's the big deal? If I was a woman, I wouldn't feel like that. No, says the Chafetz Chaim, that's not true. You can't say, if I was rich, I wouldn't act like that, because you're not rich. And you can't say, if I was drunk, I wouldn't act like that, because you're not drunk. And you can't say, if I was a woman, I wouldn't act like that, because you're not a woman. Because I'll tell you that it's a lacha, it's a fact. Women are more prone to being sensitive to your words. Going back to Rabbi Shafir, that isn't the Torah way, even though the world is coarse, vulgar, and unrefined. And he says, quote, humanity pays a heavy price. That isn't the Torah way, and it does not belong, quote, in a Jewish home. When I was growing up, the concept of ladies first was a given. My mother drilled into us, you acted differently towards a woman, which is what made me think of Rav Hirsch. You, quote, you speak differently. Certain terms and expressions that might be fine amongst the boys, excuse me, are not appropriate when talking to a woman. That was just the way things were done. That was how respectable people acted. And this is the wisdom of Chazal. And like he says, like Rabbi Shafir says, how important is it that one time, a long time ago, Avram pitched his tent between I and Beis El? You know how many times he must just Avram must have pitched his tent on his journeys from Ur Kasdim all the way to Canaan? But what's the Torah telling you? That you have to be so careful when it comes to the feelings of your wife. That was how respectable people acted. These are not small, irrelevant niceties. They're not relics of the past. These acts demonstrate in word, deed, and action that you as a person are important to me. In word, deed, and action, we demonstrate to another that you are cherished by me. This concept carries much further than outward signs of respect. It means respecting her as an individual, respecting that her feelings are real, and she's entitled to feel them. In other words, not invalidating them. If Chazal say that she's more prone to an astram, you can't tell her not to feel like that. Respecting that she will feel things that you don't as a man, and things that don't bother you, quote, might cause her great pain. They are very real differences in the way that men and women feel things. That's his whole section. I'm not going to quote more, but for example, the husband will say, why is it so difficult for a woman to let things go? Why can't you just move on? Why can't you just forget about it? Spouses live in discrete emotional worlds that are very different from each other. That's what Chazal are telling you with these few words. La'olam yehe adam zahir bonas ishto shemitoch shudimasa mitzuya onasa krova. Spouses, because they are so different, because one is a man who is created from earth and one is a woman who is created from another human being, they live in discrete emotional worlds that are very different from each other. The problems start when spouses do not learn to understand the emotional landscape and language of each other's worlds. So this was, first of all, obviously there are exceptions, and sometimes it's the man who's more sensitive and the woman who is less sensitive. So no one, I'm reiterating, please don't email me and say, you know, you're saying that women, you know, have a free pass here. That's not what I'm saying. Everyone should use their seichel. Obviously, onas dvarim applies to everybody. But even by Rashi, where I started, you saw that Rashi says, "Hu hadin lechol adam." Onas dvarim and inui and harassment is not okay by anybody. Hu hadin lechol adam. But dibur hakasuv behova, just like the Torah speaks about what is more common, Chazal understand the nature of a female is different than the nature of a male, and therefore the halacha is that when it comes to onas dvarim, he needs to be more careful with her onah than she needs to be with his onam, because he will let things slide, while for her it becomes a very, very big deal. And with that, we will say, La'olam mehir adam zar ba'onas ishto, says Rashi, ba'onas devarim litza'ara. You have to be careful not to say verbal words of oppression. I mean, bava metziya nun tes aleph, shamitoch shedimasa mitzuya, her tears are easily found, onasa kurova, wronging her is nearby, lavo per anus, onasa memaher lavo. It will cause the ona through these paranus to come very, very quickly. So for those who are married, this shir is very relevant for all of us. For those who are listening who might not be at that stage in life, if you're still waiting for your brasher, Be'ezrat Hashem, one day it will be relevant. And if for whatever reason you're past that point, it is still relevant, because we share our homes and our lives with people all around us. We share our homes and our lives with men and with women. And we have to know that there is one gender that is more sensitive, and the way we speak to our sons might not need to be the way we speak to our daughters. I'm not saying to be crass and bullying to your sons, chas v'shalom. But what a boy might let slide, a girl might not let slide. And it's not because we're male chauvinist or anti-feminist, and one gender is not better than the other. It's because it's how the Ribono Sha'olam created us, and the Torah doesn't have to be politically correct. And women feel things, Chazal say, differently than men do. They're of course yotzim in a klal, but when it comes to verbal oppression, you have to know that maves v'chayim b'yad lashon. May the neshamas of both Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav v'chana and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya merit alios. Ribono Shel Olam should just grant us the si'ata d'shmaya to internalize and apply to our everyday lives all that we learn in this class. Be'ezras Hashem, I thank you so much, everybody. I wish you a week of besoros, 2 weeks of besoros tovos, and a chodesh tov to all. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.